Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSHD Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSHD Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of people affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSHD Society Radio. Welcome all to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here on yet another episode as we bring you some great stories about some amazing people that, you know, have FSHD, but continue to move forward in their lives and hit those strides and those goals. And we have one of those guests on today. But before we get too far into who our featured guest is for this episode, make sure you're checking out FSHDsociety.org. There's a lot of upcoming things, news, notes, etc. Not sure if those have seen the most one of the more latest posts on the blog posts. It's about Avidity gets the orphan drug designation. We'll talk about that as I finish up the show later, but kind of want to put that on your radar if it's not yet. It should be. That's kind of a big thing, as well as other events that are going on in the FSHD Society. A lot of different groups, including like Getting Fit with FSHD, is available out there. You can join in part of those groups. It's not just the chapters that you can find near your area that you can get a part of and kind of connect with people, but other aspects to kind of enhance our lives and mental health and physical health. All those things are available there through FSHDsociety.org. I love doing this show. It's always a lot of fun to sit down and talk with some amazing people. Sometimes it's almost like a double-edged sword for me. If I didn't have FSH, I wouldn't be able to have some of these conversations or meet some of these people. So, you know, dare I say it, it's a slight odd blessing to some degree that I get to actually talk to some of these amazing people. One of which we have today is Caleb Frazier. He is a musician, someone that has FSHD. We welcome him in to this episode for this month. Hey, Caleb, how are you doing? Thanks for being here.
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So I didn't know who you were. Okay, full disclosure. I had no idea.
What, you didn't?
Yeah, I didn't. I know, right? And I was like, so I get this, you know, every once in a while from the FSHD Society, if it's June Kinoshita or now this new person that helps out is Lee Reynolds. Or, I'm sorry, she's not the newer person, but Erin as well. She is kind of the new face, is my contact for a lot of show guests, you know, kind of spanning the globe, so to speak, trying to find those great people that are involved, if it's scientists or researchers or clinicians or people that have FSHD that, man, hey, this person is interesting. We should really talk to them because they're doing some amazing things in their life despite having this disease. And I'm always fascinated by that. I like the people side of this. I mean, science, I get it, right? DUX4, we all hear about it forever. But to me, it's really about the people. I think that's where our science is going to help anyway. So I want to know more about the people that this is affecting. So I guess that's where I want to start with you, Caleb, is you know, tell us a little bit about yourself, your FSHD story, kind of wind it all together if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Real quick, I just want to say I love how you called it an odd blessing because I feel like that's so accurate. I tell people like I've been able to make so many connections and talk to so many people that I definitely would not have been able to if I didn't have FSH. So I love that. But yeah, my story, I grew up in a place called Roanoke, Virginia until I was about 16 years old. Then I moved to Southern Ontario, Canada. And in my time that summer, that was 2017, I started to notice like a lot of pain going on with my left shoulder in particular. I was like a very overweight kid growing up. So the year before that, I started my health journey, dropped a lot of weight, started to build some muscle. And then through that process, I was just like, I guess it's normal to have all this pain. And then I started to notice my shoulder blade was kind of sticking out in the back. And mind you, I'm like a new immigrant here on a student visa. So I didn't have insurance or anything, right? So around, I guess it would be November of that year, it was my third basketball practice. I'm big into basketball growing up. That was like what I did, that and music. And my third basketball practice, I went to get a burpee. or do a burpee, and I couldn't get back up. And it was really weird. My coach was like, hey, you know, you don't have to do this anymore. You just be here for the practices. You don't have to go through it. I went to get a sonogram. They couldn't find anything. And then eventually, I guess 3 or 4 weeks later, I just like couldn't move out of bed. I'd stopped going to like my weightlifting class, obviously, and I couldn't make it through the school day anymore. So whenever I couldn't get out of bed, I got rushed to the hospital. I was there for about 6 or 7 hours in the ER, just waiting. And then the next day, they sent me to another hospital. I was there for 5 days. At the end of my time there, the doctor said, hey, we think you have what's called FSHD. Have you heard of it? And I said, yes, my uncle has it. You know, it runs in my family. I just was unaware until basically a year or so before this all happened. So it was very like shocking to go through the initial like hit of it all, the first wave, so to speak. And then I started like acupuncture, physiotherapy. Eventually, I got to a point where I wasn't sure, so I could get the genetic test. That was about 2 years later. And then they confirmed FSHD.
Wow. And as far as you knew, then within your family history, did you know of anybody having it? Or
I didn't, not until I was about like 14 or 15. So very recent, before all this happened with me, I found out that my uncle had it. But my family, like, they weren't really ones to talk about health and, you know, anything really growing up. So that was a very big shock to me, just that it ran in my family. And then I still didn't understand it until after I got it and did, you know, all the research and was like, oh, well, yeah, I had symptoms of this years ago. So it was a big, it was a big surprise, but it was something that, you know, whenever you're 16 and a high school student going to a new school and a new town and a new country, it's already hard enough, right? So imagine like just getting hit with that. It felt like a ton of bricks. So it was a very difficult thing to navigate. I eventually had to stop going to school in person, had to do it at home for the last like year and a half of high school. But I did graduate. So I'm glad to say that. Yeah. So it was a lot to go through, but we're here now.
Right. But that is hard. I mean, you're talking about a very difficult time in an average person's life, dealing with the changes naturally happening. And then high school brings its own challenges, you know, some more difficult than others. And then you're dealing on top of it, like you mentioned, all those different changes in where you're living and oh my God. And then this hits at that moment. Plus, you know, I've heard a lot of people share their FSHD story with me, and I'm always honored to, and thank you for doing that with me and our audience. It can also be a little bit tough sometimes to talk about, kind of go back into that moment, those early scary times of what are you dealing with. One thing that I heard when you're talking about it was the extreme reaction, and it felt like quickness of how this is coming upon you. And we've had young people, early onset chapter representation on this broadcast before. And that is an area of the population that it gets affected by FSHD that we've not talked about enough. And you kind of qualify in there, you know, being a younger person. And it happened, sounds like it kind of came upon you pretty quick and limited you and kind of shocked your body a little bit. Tell us a little bit about, you know, having that realization that this is happening, your body is going through something you didn't know at the time and that you missed school for. And those kind of things, you know, I mean, kind of get us in your mind in that moment, if you can remember, like, what was that like?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I grew up playing basketball. So I had like that athletic mentality where it's like push through the pain. So in a lot of ways, you know, obviously I didn't know what I was going through. I didn't know that strengthening my muscles, lifting weights and doing all that was actually harmful. And was causing more pain and more damage to specifically like my shoulder area. That's what affected me first and still to this day affects me probably the most, that in my neck. And it was just something that was very difficult for me because I came from like my whole life has been really interesting, full of obstacles and challenges. And that's always been something that I try to like strive to overcome whatever circumstance I'm in. So to have something put on my plate that you don't really know what you're going up against, is just really weird more than anything else. It just felt weird because it's like, well, everything that I should be doing, I'm doing, and it's not helping. Why is it not helping? And that's one of those moments where like we hear the phrase make or break a lot. That's one of those moments for me where it was like, okay, make or break. Either I can like try to overcome this or give in. And in that moment, like the initial prognosis of everything, I felt like it did overcome me rather than I overcame it. And that was something that was like just very difficult being an athlete and being just like a 16-year-old guy. Like you don't want to be defeated, you know what I mean? So that led me to like a lot of like mental health issues, trying to like deal with, okay, I lost the thing I love the most, the thing that's like therapy for me, I can't do anymore, which led to like a stronger relationship with music. So full circle, I'm very grateful for that time, but it was very challenging off the bat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can. I like to definitely play a lot of sports too, growing up. And I didn't have, I think there were small signs when I was young. I mean, I got diagnosed when I was 40. So a big difference in age from yourself to me in the diagnosis. Now, if I try to shoot a basketball, it better be one of them little small ones.
Yeah.
Because that's just not happening. And there are moments where I almost look back and go, how did I do that? I mean, I always had physical work. I played sports. I mean, it was hockey, it was basketball, baseball, whatever, right? As the seasons turned is what I did. Do you ever look back now even and go, man, I can't believe I did that stuff?
Yes, but also like, so for me, like you mentioned, it seemed like it happened really quick with me. Mm-hmm. It did. And that's what the doctors were saying too. You know, this is the quickest kind of from point A to point B that they had seen. But I've taken a lot of intentional time and effort to work on myself, my diet, my body, my mindset. And now I'm at a point where maybe a modified version, but I can go out there and bounce the ball. I can go out there and try to shoot a little bit different than what I was doing before. Of course, you can't get that perfect 90-degree angle, but whatever works for you, whatever works for whatever you need, there's ways to modify and do things that you used to do maybe, or that you want to do that just look a little bit different now. And so that's something that I've tried to be very intentional with, and just being able to say, like, I never want to say I can't do anything, you know, because to me, that's too like definitive, and I'm not going to let anything define me besides me. So that's something that for me, it took a long time to come around with that mindset. Yeah. But now that I'm here, I want to encourage people to know, like, you can do the things that you're afraid of doing. It'll take some time. It'll look different than what other people do, but you can still do it. You just got to put in the time. And mindset is a big thing. It's a very big thing.
So when you talk about diet, mindset, work, you worked on those things. Is that for mindset? Let's kind of focus on that. Is that you do meditation? What's kind of the thing that you go to, or things perhaps that you go to for that?
Yeah, there's a lot. I think for me, like I grew up in church. I'm a man of faith. For me, I look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, God will not give you more than you can bear. So I try to start every day remembering that, like there's nothing that I can't overcome. That's a big one for me. Meditation is important. Just mindfulness, time to like block out everything else, because life, let's face it, sometimes is pretty crappy. And that crappiness can like lead to crappy thinking, you know, a bad mindset. And that's something that throughout the pandemic, especially, we all have more time. So I got to like sit with that and kind of go through some things. So that those two things are very important. And I think something that I couldn't live without. Also, it's the people around you, I find, are very important for creating a positive atmosphere and a positive mindset. There's definitely been people in my life that I've had to kind of cut away from. In regards to FSH and in regards to mental health or whatever it may be, you got to know what's best for you and who is best for you. And that's a big one, especially if you are a younger person listening to this. It's hard to figure out like who your real friends are when you're in high school and even after that a little bit and throughout life, of course. But if you have to compromise who you are for other people, then maybe that's not a good sign. Mm.
Yeah. Did you find that you mentioned, you know, the friends, people you surround yourself with, did that circle of friends, people that you held close to you, did that change once you had that diagnosis? You know, the people
it changed just, significantly. Yeah. It changed significantly. And a lot of that was timing too, was just moving, becoming more isolated, which was, you know, obviously you never want to be isolated. That's terrible for every aspect of your health, mental, spiritual, and physical. But it changed significantly. And, you know, I'm very grateful for like the family in my life. The people that I did have, I do have a couple good friends that stuck with me throughout it all. Mm-hmm. And along the way have met many others. So it may seem scary. You may feel like going through life by yourself. Don't do that. There are people out there that love you and will help you through it. And that was something that I needed to remember. Not everybody can be on this ride with you, but those who will take it with you are incredible and need to be cherished. Mm.
Yeah, it's remarkable how, you know, friends can evolve, things change, relationships change. It's not always necessarily happens with some type of dramatic argument or separation. Mm-hmm. It's just sometimes there's a drift that happens. Yeah. You just don't see eye to eye in certain things, almost an agree to disagree, so you just don't spend as much time. Yeah. And I found it very fascinating, you know, in my circle of friends, how it got significantly smaller when I got diagnosed. It almost felt like once I told somebody I had this, they didn't know how to deal with it, maybe, you know, how to interact with me any longer, even though I was the same person that had it before. I mean, we were all born with this. So it's not like it was a surprise. It's just more known. And it seemed like when that information was out, the friends just kind of distanced themselves from me a little bit. Did you find the same thing? And then just new friends kind of came in to light.
I did. And I think it's because people get scared of what they don't understand. Mm-hmm. And chronic disease in general, but FSHD specifically, there's not too much out there on it, especially for like the general public who's never heard of it and doesn't know, you know, if you just casually say it in passing, there's a good chance that they don't know what you're talking about. Right. And so I think that was a big part of it. Another part was just, you know, that naturally happens in life, especially that age, high school, you're always, you know, changing who you're around.
Right.
But I definitely did find that as well.
Mm. And then even, okay, so it's good to know with, we're like, we're not all crazy, right? I mean, it happens to everybody, I think, you know, and even without FSHD. I, you know, there's always an evolution in your life and things start to evolve and change. You always hope it's for the positive. So it's great that you are a young person realizing that you needed those key pieces to help you through these rough times, the spiritual side, mental health. You talked about then the physical or the diet. What was your path and why did you choose it in regards to that, in regards to health? Maybe.
Yeah. No, that is something that is ever evolving for me. That for me, like, you know, a 16-year-old guy, I'll let you guess how my diet was before I started taking it seriously. It was pretty bad.
Right.
So that was something that I realized, you know, was causing a lot of inflammation, which is very painful whenever you don't have the strength to combat it, or really in general. So that was something that I had to be intentional about, was eating more vegetables. I went vegan for a while. That's something that I think does work for some people, didn't really work for me. So I switched to more just a low inflammation, high protein diet. Okay. So I don't eat like red meat still. I don't eat, you know, fatty foods. I eat a lot of vegetables. I eat chicken breast, fish, turkey, the lean stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't eat a lot of sugar. I don't, you know, consume a lot of caffeine, alcohol, all that. You know, I try to keep everything in moderation. So I find that that's helped me a lot with my energy and fatigue. Those are still issues, but it's definitely way better than it used to be when I was eating a bag of Goldfish every night and drinking 4 coffees with cream and all that, you know. So it's definitely method to the madness whenever it comes to what you put in your body.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that some can take it to the extreme. And I mean, if that's what they believe is the right way, mm-hmm. so be it. That's fine. But I think I'm with you. You're right. You have to make, I think, those changes and see it as the greater good. It's not necessarily right. a sacrifice, that this is just the way of life. I always cringe when people say I'm on a diet. I'm like, well, that's like temporary thinking. You got to right. kind of shift what you're going to do. How hard has it been to kind of stay with that? You talked about your age, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you're hanging out with other people that are your age, you know, maybe they're not as health conscious. You ever get any, right. especially you mentioned alcohol. I mean,
right.
I mean, I get that grief still and I'm 47 years old. I really didn't drink, and it wasn't right. that I set out to do. But in the state or the area of the country that I live in, drinking is kind of a big thing, and mm-hmm. I go against the grain by not doing it at all. So I guess that's my question. When you're going against the grain a little bit with what other people are doing in your age group, how do you kind of deal with that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, life has never really been about fitting in. Mm. I think individuality is something that should be celebrated a lot more than it is. It's very cool to like. Just be different, in my opinion. The problem gets more with logistics. And whenever you do go out to a restaurant with your buddies, what are you going to eat? They're all eating burgers. What is there on the menu that helps you? You know, burgers and fries, like, it's a vibe, but it's not going to be something that your muscles thank you for necessarily. So for me, it goes back to like surrounding yourself with the right people. You don't want people who are always pushing you to consume something you shouldn't, whether that be food or anything in life, really. So if you have the right people in your life, they won't judge you. They might make fun of you in a friendly way, but that's just all fun and games. For me, it's become more of just like a mindset, a lifestyle, and every day. Like, I never wake up thinking like, man, I really wish I could have a double cheeseburger with bacon right now. That's really? Not something that I struggle with, believe it or not, because I've seen the benefits from it. And I know like there's no reason for me to go and put that in my body now, considering how well this eating habit, this lifestyle has worked out for me so far.
Hmm. That's good. Yeah, it's good. That's good, clean thinking. You know, what you're putting in is what you get out, and kind of helping your body out. And it's tough, I think, for a lot of us to do that, especially I really believe that the older you go into this and you kind of get set in your ways, it's awful tough to kind of go back or
I can imagine
dramatically. Yeah. 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 I might be one of those people, Caleb, where it's
you got it. I believe in you,
but you got it. Right. Right. And I, you know, and you want to fight the disease as much as possible. So, when you do you do any type of exercise or some type of workout routine or something to kind of help your body along that way?
Mm-hmm. I do now. I used to not. So when I was going through my initial diagnosis and everything, you know, the science and the research is always changing, and you just try your best to keep up. So when I was going through that, the majority of what I was hearing from the medical experts was exercise is not so good for FSHD. So I was like, okay, bet. You know, when I was exercising, I was going way too hard, but when I was exercising, it was hurting my body. So I believed it. Yeah. But that also led to more muscle loss and weakness and fatigue. And I was like, wow, this isn't great either. So it became more about like trying to find a good balance of exercise, activity more. I like to use the word activity more than exercise now. But it became more about activity, because when I was 18 or 19, I lost the majority of my muscle usage in my legs from lack of movement more than anything.
Okay.
So it became about like trying to strengthen my muscles and the first step and all of that was finding a good like stretching routine. Mm-hmm. So I wake up and most mornings I do a quick, you know, 4 or 5 minute stretching routine from my legs to my neck, trying to get everything up and like almost like the get the engine running type of thing.
Yeah, kind of get active.
Exactly. So I start with that, and I've progressively been adding things, trying things to my routine. So I started doing some very light dumbbell exercises just to maintain the muscle and my bicep and triceps and all of that. And, you know, some things you try, it's not going to work out. Some things you try, it will work out. So just keep trying. And if it makes you feel worse, maybe that's a good sign to stop that one.
Yeah.
So that's what I try to keep in mind. So I got to a point where I was in my wheelchair. This was 2020. I was in my wheelchair way more than not, either wheelchair or bed. And now I like to say it's very much the opposite. I'm only in my chair whenever I feel like a lot of weakness or spasming in my legs. And if I'm going like on a long trip or like if I know I'm going to be out all day, then I'll take it. But if it's, you know, just like a walk around the yard with my dog, then I'm very happy to say I'm at a point where I can do that.
With no chair.
With no chair. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then you kind of built yourself out of it a little bit or worked yourself out of it.
I did. Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that was a journey that I took alone. You know, I have great friends who inspired me to, you know, get up and go and do life. But that was something that I had to make the choice of. Here, I'll open up. I'll get a little transparent with you. Last February, I went to a hospital in Toronto. I'm not going to say the hospital or the doctor or anything, but I had my first, believe it or not, neuromuscular appointment just after the pandemic and everything. The wait time in Canada is crazy, all of that. So I had my first neuromuscular appointment last February, and it basically went like, you're broken. We can't fix you. See you next year.
Wow.
That was a summary. So I left that feeling very defeated. I met my friend for dinner after, and she encouraged me, just like one of those people that light up the world, you know what I mean? She's very bubbly. She encouraged me to just like go out and do it anyway. And I've kept that mentality. And I went from really in the last year or so, I went from being low energy, can't do very much, to exercising multiple times a week, feeling confident about the things I can and can't do, and got to a point where I can shoot basketball a little, dribble a little bit. So it's been a very wild journey. It's a lot of ups and downs. Obviously, I still get tired. I still do things where I'm like, shouldn't have done that. You know, still have that pain, that fatigue, but it's definitely a lot better than it was.
That is remarkable. So you kind of took that doom and gloom diagnosis. And I think a lot of us are shaking our heads when you said that, you know, like fully transparency, this is what they told me. Like, yeah, I kind of got the same thing. It was no treatment, no cure. Heck, I didn't even get a pamphlet about what it was. And off you go. We'll see you in a year and see how you're declining.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's great. Yeah. I'm coming back. Sure.
Yeah, for sure.
You kind of want a little more hope, or at least a plan, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so that you can walk away and go, okay, so you tell me there's a chance here that like we can. You know,
Exactly. Yeah. And that goes back to the whole like mentality thing, the mindset thing. Like if that's what you're being told by people who are supposed to know the most about what you have, how are you supposed to feel? Like what do people expect you to feel? Of course you're going to feel jaded or tired or feel like you don't want to fight this losing battle, it seems. But I can say from my experience, you know more than you think you know, and you can do more than you think you can do.
Wow. You got to put that on a shirt. Is that going to be on one of your you know, swag, you know?
Yeah, the merch.
Yeah, on your merch. Yeah, yeah.
I'm playing. Might have to now.
Yeah, might have to. So that kind of segues into that part of your life here. You know, music is a huge part of your life, which is why, you know, I got that email from FSHT site and say, hey, you got to talk to this guy. His name's Caleb, but he also goes by Apex. Okay. So I look into it. I pull you up on Spotify. There you are. I'm like, all right. I kind of had it on my car. I was listening to it. And I pick up my 16-year-old from high school. And he's, what's this? I said, oh, this is Apex. And I kind of handed my phone. He's looking. I never heard of this guy before. I go, you like it? Yeah, this is good. Oh, good. Okay. You know, now I feel cool, Caleb. I'm like, all right. You know, at least for a moment, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, he enjoyed it. I listened to more of it. And yeah, so I guess tell us a little about that. Tell us about the music side of your life. How is that evolution?
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. First off, that's an awesome story. You are a cool dad of the year. Yeah. So for me, like I grew up in a musical household. My mom was in the choir, you know, all my life. So it was like 3 times a week at church, she was at practice. I was there as a 4, 5, 6 year old listening in. So I was always surrounded by music. My grandfather could play basically any instrument you handed him. So it was something that's always been a part of me. I used to write little like couplets, little like songs. They were plagiarized when I was like 7, 8 years old. So that kind of grew and evolved. And when I was 10 years old, I discovered hip hop. And it was just like, you know, something I had never experienced before. It all felt so real. And like the emotion was so much realer than the other things that I was consuming at the time. Mm-hmm. I now listen to like a wide variety of music. I love music in general. But like hip hop for me was the thing that took me from being like, I love this to I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Wow.
There's an artist. His name is Lecrae. My brother showed me his song Background, and ever since then I was like, this is what I want to do, this is who I want to be. And that of course evolved in the last 11 years, and especially like when I was going through my diagnosis, it became a therapy for me. Mm-hmm. I come from a broken home, so it was already like therapeutic for me. Yeah. and a lot of things in my life, but I like to say I use music for like an escape for me, and hope for other people. Like I want people to hear my music and be like, walk away with more hope than they walked into it. You know? So, the reason I chose the name Apex Frazier is because Apex is like the highest possible point to be at the highest point. And Frazier is my last name. I want to be the best version of me possible. And that's something that I try to live out in my day to day. Whenever I moved here, I met a good buddy of mine. His name is Damon, and he's, you know, big into music. He used to be in a band with my now stepbrothers. Mm-hmm. And it's awesome because I finally felt like, oh, wow, here's a group of people who share this love that I have. And since then, Damon and I have been working very closely over the last like five and a half years now, working on music. So shout out to Damon.
Nice. So is he kind of is he helping you produce the music as well?
Yes. Yeah. He's my in-house producer for most things. Anytime I work on a project, I have 3 or 4 projects out. He's like the main producer that I work with. I work with other people as well, but he understands how I speak. I say I'm like musically illiterate because I don't understand theory as much. Okay. So I'm able to put like the emotions out, and he can take that and move that into the music. And he brings like the sounds. And of course he's taught me a lot through that process, which is awesome. So now I do understand it a lot more, but when I was 16, I didn't. Right. So it was almost like a match made in heaven. Hmm.
Yeah. It's like you knew you loved it. You knew you wanted, but how do you get there?
Exactly. So
human being in there kind of was a little bit of that guide.
Yeah. And like I knew what I do is very like unique from other people. And I knew like the sound I was going for, but I didn't know how to make that happen through this production software or through these instruments. And he did. So that was really cool.
You say unique. Mm-hmm. Does that mean, are you meaning like your style, how you go about creating, or both?
Both, really, but mainly my style. And I think the music I've been working on recently, I just put out a song called Thick and Thin this past Friday. Mm-hmm. I think you can see that on display a lot more, where it's not so much what you hear on the radio or even from different hip hop artists. I have like very niche inspirations. John Bellion, 07 O'Shake, Andy Mineo, like those are people that I know. This one's very controversial right now, but I'm inspired by Kanye's music. So like those are people that I listen to, and I think through those avenues I've been able to discover like my sound. And just in terms of writing, like you were saying, that is also unique for me, because what I'll do a lot is I'll just record like demos on my voice memo app on my phone.
Okay.
And then I'll go back and I'll add like lyrics to the cadence, but sometimes it's just like da 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 da, like that'll sound cool, and then I go back and add it. So for me, it's more about like capturing the emotion, capturing that feeling, and then the listeners will get that first and foremost off the bat.
Right. So you feel inspired with whatever mood you're in, whatever environment you're in. You feel a beat, a rhythm, a tone, something you hear maybe in your head, and then you're putting that immediately out there for yourself so you kind of don't lose it, right?
Right.
You capture it. And then you kind of do at that point, then go to Damon and said, hey, this is in my head. How do we get this out? And then I think I have this lyric with it. So is it usually the beat first, the lyric follows, or can it be opposite?
It can be opposite. So I am a lyricist by nature. Like I grew up, like even in school, I loved English, specifically poetry and writing. Those were the things that I actually enjoyed when I was in school. And so for me, I've always like been drawn to lyrics, but for me, I've also found that the way that you say something can be as impactful, if not more impactful, than what you're actually saying. So it became kind of the question, the idea of like, how do we get this perfect marriage of what I'm saying and how I'm saying it? And how do we get that to be mixed perfectly with like the production side of things? And so it's kind of almost like any order of operations can be used there, as long as we get to that point where I'm like, this is what I want it to be.
How has FSHD inspired or made you adapt in the music sense? You've talked about the sports world, basketball, working out, lifestyle choice, all that, and health. And so how has FSHD kind of influenced in the music side?
That's a wonderful question. It's changed things a lot. When I was 15, I started to do a lot of live performances. And that's obviously something I've had to cut back on. As an artist, especially a small independent artist, you make the majority of your money from live shows.
Right.
So that was something that I started to establish a little bit of a revenue income, and then all of a sudden it had to be stopped. So I changed a lot of how I approach music business and that side, but also in terms of actually approaching music, it gave me like a new meaning of what I want to do and how I want my music to affect people. Because before it was, you know, I still want it to be positive. I want it to be an outlet for people who needed it. But now I have a much clearer why and a much better understanding of how we can do this, how we can impact people, who we can impact more specifically. So it's changed literally every aspect of life, but in some ways it's been more beneficial. Like, and I would say music is one of those ways.
When it comes to the live performance, I'm not sure when the last one you had, but whenever that one was it difficult physically to do?
Yes. So I used to do like little small shows or like performances here and there. When I was 17, so it was about 6 months or so after I learned I had FSHD, I told myself and I told my cousin, I want to go on tour, a little mini tour, just so I can be able to do it. Because I don't know, you know, then it was progressing very quickly. I didn't know how much time I would have to do that. So we did it when I was 17 years old. My cousin and I loaded up his truck. Nice. And this is back in the States. So we went from Florida to Virginia. We did 5 shows. And that was so tolling, so incredibly tolling, physically, mentally, spiritually, all of it was very, very tolling, but so worth it. And then I went about 4 years without doing a show until last summer. I was able to do another one with my friend Chris up here in Canada and in Kitchener area. So that was incredible. And that took a lot out of me. I was absolutely dead the next day. I was just laying in bed till like 12. I usually get up at like 8 or so. So that was, it was a lot, but I wouldn't trade that for the world. It was so beautiful, like magical to be up there again and just have the people in my life who never got to see that side of me before, see that side of me again. Yeah. That was just incredible. And it's something that I definitely look forward to doing again whenever the opportunity comes.
What's your, who would be the dream tour? Like, who would you love to tour with? Who's the artist? Ooh. I mentioned John Bellion being one of your inspirations. Is it him? Is it another?
Yeah. John Bellion definitely would be a dream. There's an artist, he's relatively new on the scene. His name is Toby Enigwe. He's like a very interesting hip hop artist, but he had a song on the last Black Panther movie. He's independent from Houston, and his studio songs and his live shows are completely different. He has like this overblown drum, big production with the studio stuff, and then you see his live shows and it's like choir, scalp bag instruments, violin players, like a vocal harmony section. It's so cool to see. I would love to be there and experience that live and be a little bit more behind the scenes with him and learn from that, because that's what it's about, is creating that experience for people.
Oh yeah. Oh, I love live music. Now, I have not trying to think in all my live venues like we have here. I'm in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area. Okay. So for us, the big musical event every summer is Summerfest. And then they have everything from hip hop to country and everything in between is there. And it's, you know, back when I would go often, it would be 10 straight days, you know, all morning, all afternoon into the night of all different artists, different stages. And you'd walk the grounds and just go from stage to stage. You pay one price and that's what you would do. And then there was a remain stage that you'd pay extra for. And that would be usually a more of a top tier artist of that time, you know? And you could see, you know, up and coming groups, you could see established, you could see ones that have kind of had their peak and maybe they went down and they're peaking again, all different kind of music. And I know that I saw a little bit of the hip hop scene then, but we're talking like, you know, 2000s, you know, that's a while ago since I've entered in there. Hip hop has evolved so much over the years, even till now, what I listen to my son, you know, listen to when he takes control of the radio, which I never mind. I know as an old man, I'm totally confused now about what it is. Cause it's not, I mean, there's elements of rap and rhyme and all that in it, but it's hip hop. It's different. So for those, what is, like, in your words, you know, what makes hip hop hip hop?
Oh, wow.
That's a big one.
That's a big question. If I answer this wrong, that'll be bad. I'm just playing. Hip hop to me is, it's almost like a feeling, like you know it when you're in it. It can be anything from the rapping to the dancing to the fashion to whatever. It's become a culture more than just music. And like we've seen in the last 5, 6, 7 years, it's taken over the world in a way that you know, rock did in the 90s or whatever. It's just like influenced so many people outside of the genre of hip hop to now you can't listen to a pop radio station for 10 minutes without hearing 808s, without hearing a full-on rap song or at least a rap verse. And I think hip hop is just almost, in a way, it's become like this this disease. But like we said earlier, like diseases, sometimes they can lead to beneficial things. And I think hip hop has become one of those like benefits to to the music scene and to a lot of society in general. There's obviously negatives and positives with like with everything, but I would say overall it's changed the way we view things.
Yeah, I love what you said about it and how you described it, especially as the lifestyle. There's no question. I mean, it is a lifestyle, and it has infiltrated marketing. It's infiltrated other genres of music. It's everywhere, and even sport. You know, it's been big in basketball for a long time. But I'm a baseball coach, man. I'm telling you right now, it is in the marketing of baseball big time now. I mean, it is spreading because there is something. I don't know. It's
infectious.
It's infectious. It's got a fun vibe to it. It makes you feel young. And for me, that's always good. So, you know, I'm like, yeah, this sounds good. And I love the beats and like the different mixes and things, you know, and sometimes, and I'm with you with like the lyrics, and I'll try to listen as like what my son's listening to. And I'll kind of chuckle and he'll go, What? I go, you didn't hear him say that? I'm like, man, how can you miss that? You know, so it challenges you to pay attention, to listen to the meaning, and the, not just the beat, but it has that too. Yeah, it is. It's definitely a very encapsulating style of music that bridges a lot of things together.
No, that's a great point. It challenges you definitely to listen and to expand, you know, expand your train of thought, your palette with music. I think there's just a lot more freedom in hip-hop because there's so many subgenres, there's so many things you can do, and literally you can fit in more words than another music genre. So there's a lot to love about it.
Yeah, I imagine it's challenging to write, right? It's challenging to perform.
It is challenging to perform. That was a big thing with my last show, was just trying to capture that breath control with FSHD. You know, shortness of breath is a big thing, and fatigue and stuff. But for me, I very rarely struggle with writer's block, and I think that's just a straight up blessing, because I know a lot of musicians do struggle with it. But I have 500 songs on my phone right now that have never been released. So,
Oh my gosh.
It's I'm literally addicted to it. Have that be for good or for bad, but it's something that in a lot of ways I felt like has saved my life and has saved a lot of other people.
You did mention that Thick and Thin is the new single that's out. You have all those songs on your phone. Okay, so when's the full length album? I mean, when's that coming?
When's the next album?
Yeah, come on.
It is in the works. That kind of is a twofold answer. It's up to the fan base in terms of as an artist, you know, an independent artist. It's just kind of expensive to make albums. So I would be doing myself and the music an injustice to release a full album that we spent a year working on and so much money on, and then it just get, you know, no traction and no views and all that. Not that I do music for statistics, but just, you know, at the end of the day, you want to have what you do be worth it. So the plan for this year is just to release a lot of singles and hopefully build up the fan base, and then while we do that, be working on the album in the background to make it the best thing that it could possibly be.
That sounds like good work. It's hard work. It's well worth it though, if it's in your blood and that's what you want to do. And I've heard the music. You're clearly talented and gifted and meant to do it. So so we're going to then keep our eyes open for every time a single pops. And then I want everybody to keep sharing that out there into the world, especially our FSHD community. You know, I know we have hip hop fans and we have some that aren't. To be honest with you, but we are all FSHD society community. Let's help. And I think Caleb, you know, let's get the word out a little bit. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. So the final question for you, Caleb, is, you know, I do ask this of a lot of the guests that come on, but I think coming from your perspective, your point of view, you've given us some great insight in how you've dealt with a lot of the challenges that life in general has had to offer you, especially FSHD. But there's probably somebody listening, if they're, you know, later in their years, like me, like 40 plus, or if they're younger when they're diagnosed, but they're grappling, struggling, trying to digest what this means to their life. What advice would you give to them if they're just, you know, getting that news, you know, maybe right before you came on to talk to us today? What advice would you give them?
Ultimately, my advice to you would be, don't be discouraged. This is a scary thing, but it's not something that you're incapable of living with. It's not something that you're incapable of working through and still being the best version of you. You can absolutely be the best version of you with FSHD. If anything, it makes you more unique. It makes your story more compelling. So don't give up. Continue to strive to be that person that you want to be. And I truly believe in every single person with FSHD. Y'all can do incredible, amazing things.
Yeah, that is well put, my friend. Well put. And lastly, how can they find more about you? I know I did the Spotify plug. That's a pretty easy search, guys. Apex Fraser on there. Takes literally half a second. But do you have a website or other places or Instagram where they can find you?
Yes, absolutely. I am. You can find me at Apex Fraser across all social medias, APEXFRAZIER. I do have a website. It's shopapexfraser.com. Mm-hmm. It's currently down for maintenance, but it should be up by about midweek this week.
Oh, okay. So yeah, by the time this episode's released.
Oh, yes. By the time this episode's out, it'll be there.
Yeah, then it'll definitely be out there. Perfect. Perfect. Well, thanks, Caleb. Appreciate your time. Appreciate your talent. Thanks for giving us the inspiration today. I wish you the best, and I'm going to keep you on my Spotify favorites, my friend.
I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
You bet. You bet. You take care. So that is Caleb Fraser. He is definitely a guy that inspires a lot of people, and he will continue to. And to be honest with you, I think he's going to inspire you and continue to, if he means to or not. And that's kind of hard to maybe describe or explain. So, you know what? Why don't we take a quick break? We'll kind of close up shop, talk about this interview a little bit. Maybe we'll play a little bit of his music as well, a little bit of Apex Fraser when we come back off break. But listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show. The FSHD Radio Podcast is brought to you by Fulcrum Therapeutics. Fulcrum Therapeutics is a proud sponsor of the FSHD Radio Podcast. The team at Fulcrum is working to develop innovative therapies targeting the root causes of genetic diseases, including FSHD. As the only company with a drug in clinical stage development for FSHD, Fulcrum is proud to support programs that are helping more people learn about FSHD and the critical need for research that can lead to new treatments. For information and updates about Fulcrum, visit their website at fulcrumtx.com. You can also connect with them on LinkedIn or follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Welcome back to the FSHD Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Caleb Fraser, or Apex Fraser, who is the artist, hip-hop artist, battling FSHD like so many of us are. But regardless, he moves forward in what he loves to do and what he believes he's called to do. Now, maybe on the break, you jumped over to Spotify or wherever else you find your music, Apple, etc. I use Spotify. That's just me. But type in Apex Fraser. And yes, if you listen to some of his tracks, Five Figure Suit is one I like. DeLorean is pretty good as well. And then the newest one, though, is definitely different. Thick and Thin has almost like a lounge beat to it that I love. And then the song evolves from there. He does dabble in different sounds differently than other hip hop artists. Now, full disclosure, I'm not a hip hop expert at all. Definitely not. But I do enjoy it. And to like mix it up from time to time, it does rattle through my playlists. And for me, someone that has FSHD and still decides to do what they love, regardless of any type of hurdles it might cause, he talked about breath. Absolutely. You know, some of the fast speaking parts are difficult. We all know FSHD can affect how we talk. And the fact he's taking this on, despite those possible challenges coming and establishing himself as this artist, is a little bit of courage written in there, because he's, you know, he's moving forward regardless of what it could be, what the challenges could be. The things I loved about Caleb's story is he has remarkable, what felt like intuition and reaction to life's negative things. We didn't go deep into his personal life, talked about a broken home. We all know that's not easy. And then dealing with it as a young age, of course, makes it a lot worse. Then you're diagnosed with the disease. He's moved a couple times. I mean, literally from, you know, one part of, you know, and from one country to another, et cetera, and going to Ontario and so forth. So there's a lot of challenges that creates, and FSHD being kind of blanketed on top of all of it, I'm sure it was very difficult. And I get inspired by people that are of that age, deal with this disease at such a young age, and yet tackle everything else and still come out the other side being extremely, you know, I don't want to say productive. That's just like such a sterile word to use, but it's more like, you know, still in the pursuit of their happiness, still in the pursuit of what I love, despite the fact that this could be difficult. And that's inspirational to so many. It's the underdog story, which is why, you know, I love it. I love it. So it is, to me, the encompassing meaning or what FSHD is. And some I know are going to eye roll when we talked about, and I said it, you know, it's almost like a slight blessing to this, because there's no way I am meeting the people I've met, talk to them, just understanding, heck, even understanding the disease, the science of it, has opened my eyes to that side of the world that I never would have even thought of. It's also opened up my heart to understand that people are going through a lot more than even what I'm dealing with. Different diseases, different challenges. I'm immediately more empathetic instead of judgmental. And I really say it's because of having FSHD. It's taken a life's tragedy for me to kind of set me straight and go, wait a minute, you know, this is more of a human to human thing. You have to understand other people's suffering, be more empathetic. It's made me that more, for sure, more aware, more awake to that. And for that, I am grateful for it. I mean, I did a podcast before this that had not nearly the heart and soul as this does. Now, it had a bigger following. It got me a little more notoriety. It got more attention, blah, blah, blah. So what? It didn't have the soul, didn't have the connection that this does. And the fact I can connect with someone like Caleb, get to know his music as Apex has been pretty cool. So as we close up shop, I'm going to find this track. I think maybe hopefully it comes up loud and clear here. Paul Ronson, who was on last month's episode that I recorded, and he's a DJ in the UK, and I hope that my DJ work is to his liking. I know he still follows the show here, but this is Thick and Thin.
My counselor said he's not convinced that God is hearing us. My character said I'm not convinced on if she cares enough. My liver just said don't pour another, I can't take it, brother. Go and point the finger, then you'll need it if you teary heart. Teary eye, teary lie, tear your soul and die inside. Roll it up, try to hide.
So that's Apex Frazier right there. That song is called Thick and Thin. It is, it's good. It's very good. And it's got a little bit of what I enjoy about hip hop, and it's a little bit of that smooth style to it. Difficult lyricists in there, challenging, I can imagine, for Caleb to pull that off. So go ahead and follow him on Instagram at Apex Frazier. Go to I think it was Apex Frazier, shop Apex Frazier. Check him out there. Check him out on Spotify. Follow him, support him if you can. Tell your friends, especially those that enjoy hip hop, have them put this artist on your radar. We would appreciate that. Last thing too, I want to let you know is I definitely want you to go to FSHD Society, get involved in some of those groups, Feeling Fit with FSHD. We talked about fitness with Caleb, the Wellness Hour, is there for you. FSHD University comes up all the time. And then, of course, your local chapters and the Care Partner Hour at the end of the month, every month. It's all there for you to help you out. So thanks again for letting me be in your ears on your social media platforms as you watch the show. I hope these episodes are still enjoyable to you as we bring in every FSHD person from around the globe that is inspired to still do what they do, what they're meant to do, despite the fact that they have FSHD. It's not just about the science of the disease. We talk about that too, but really I'm about the people, and I hope you enjoyed it. So as we close out, we'll finish it up here with the end of the track here of Thick and Thin by Apex Frazier. Now we on the up and up, now we getting double stuff. I'm making on the screen, doing double dutch. Run it up, tell my boys to run it up. Tell them we still grinding through the bad times. That's just how we get by. I am not a bad guy, I am just a vessel. Pray my superpower, I just be the devil. So thank you all for listening, watching the FSHD Society Radio Show. We'll see you next week. Take care. You've been listening to the FSHD Society Radio Show.